I do want to start at your beginning as a young hockey player. Many moons ago, of course, you were a star in the GTHL with the Mississauga Senators and Toronto Red Wings. Anthony always shares these stories, and I'm a GTHL parent right now. My son plays in minor bantam. How crazy were the parents back when you were playing, Matt? Were they nuts like they are now?
Pretty crazy. I wouldn't say it's at the level of where it's at now, with because you got the social media and parents probably texting each other, and you have all that going on behind the coaches' backs. But
chat rooms, but secret chat rooms.
Exactly, exactly. But I think when I was never a star in minor hockey. I was never like Stewie coming in. I remember Stewie going into Kingston being the man, and we would go in with our team from Belleville and just crush them. But
thanks for the reminder.
But but yeah, I was never the star. But it was. There's definitely politics, like anything in life, and anybody in the AAA GTHL world is definitely familiar with that. So I'm sure it's not going to change anytime soon. That's for sure.
Well, actually, before we let the guys in, I can tell you that it might change, at least in the immediate future, because the discussion right now is that they'll try and continue playing in September, but without parents because of the pandemic. So maybe this will be a dream for Stu. He can just go about his coaching without being razzed from both sets of parents up in the stands.
Bench kids without
repercussions. Anyways, go ahead, Stewie.
How's it going, Stage? How are you, buddy?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people know the story, but tell the listeners about, when you finished off in Belleville and you ended up playing a game in the NHL and AHL. So you're one of the few players to play in three different leagues in a short time frame.
Yeah, we lost in the playoffs in game seven in the OHL. I was playing for Belleville. We lost St. Mike's. And I had my head shaved into a mohawk. We had red mohawks. You know, junior teams do playoffs, team bonding stuff. So I had a red mohawk. And then driving back after we lost in game seven and end of the year party in junior, it was quick turnover. I remember my agent calling me, Pat Morris, the next night being like, the Leafs want to sign you, stay to St. John's to play a game in the AHL before the season's over here. So within 2 days after a quick little end of year get together with my teammates in Belleville, I was on a plane to St. John's playing my first game on a Friday night, and they had missed the playoffs too. So crazy thing about that story is I played my game in St. John's on Friday night, and that was their end of the year. So of course there was a night on the town in St. John's that night with the team, and I'm the young guy, so I had a ton of fun. And the next morning I had two missed calls from Mike Penny on my hotel room. So I'd missed two calls. I was like, oh, because I didn't have cell phones weren't like you had them on you all the time then. So I remember I missed a breakfast with Mike Penny the next morning, but it was just like a call to like be like, we're going to fly to Toronto. You might play tonight. So I missed that, but I was able to catch my flight to Toronto. And that night I was in the lineup because the Leafs had made the playoffs, but they had a bunch of guys banged up and they didn't want to play that last game. It meant nothing. So hey, that was my opportunity. And before you know it, I was playing Hockey Night in Canada, third league in like five nights, in Toronto. And I scored in the first period. It was a crazy week, to say the least.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. Go ahead, Berkey.
Well, they're picking on me this week, Stage, because Corey Hirsch is on later, and I waived him. We had Brett Hedekin on yesterday or the day before, and I traded him. And now we got you on, and I traded you, so I apologize. Sorry to have you on this week. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you're great. You came into to both organizations I was with. You came in, and I was, the first or second line center, so you didn't have all that much to work with when you came into the organization. But you got me out of town in one city, but you kept me in Calgary, which I appreciated. So nothing but respect for you, that's for sure.
Well, I'll tell these folks a story. The first team meeting we had in Calgary, I'd just flown in the night before. I hadn't even met the team, and we had our training camp team meeting, and Jay Feaster was the GM. He spoke, and then I spoke. And I saw Stage over to the side, and I went over to him. I said, don't be nervous, Stage. I put you in that deal because I had to. I didn't want to trade you, so don't be nervous. You'll be fine here. And then we extended you, so that's right. But going back, I like looking where guys play junior. When you played in Belleville, you got to play with Cody McCormick, David Clarkson, and Jason Spezza. Tell me what that was like.
Yeah, they're great. Actually, David Clarkson didn't work out in Belleville. He actually got waived and things weren't going well. And he went to Kitchener and Pete DeBoer kind of resurrected his career with the Kitchener Rangers. So he wasn't much of, you know, wasn't things weren't going well in Belleville for him. But with Spezza, he was unbelievable. We made a trade. My second year, we traded Kyle Wellwood for Jason Spezza. So we were all in to go for it. And it hurt our team the following year because we didn't have Wellwood play another year of junior. And he was unbelievable junior player. At Spez, we just had for the end of that year. And he absolutely dominated junior. He came in and he had like a couple 7-point nights. Like, it was crazy. Like, the nights when he was feeling it, he would just, especially on the big ice in Belleville, we had that Olympic ice surface. So he was great. And then Cody McCormick, he was our captain, and I have nothing but good things to say about him. Hard-nosed guy, played on my line for 2 years, and I got away with a lot just because he was there. And our other lineman was Adam Paymont. That was our line, and he was a tough guy too, son of Wilf Paymont. So we had a really a good line that was scrappy. I could be a little ratty in junior, and we loved our nights in Kingston against Dewey, that's for sure. Those were point nights.
Stewie, you got to rebut that.
But no. I had a couple 4-point nights, but I was young. I think I was only 17 at the time, so I'll blame it on inexperience.
We're chatting with Matt Stajan. Great to have you here, Matt Stajan, again, a former Maple Leaf and a former OHL star as well. So listen, there's a bit of a fraternity. I can tell you, when we welcome in guys from Toronto onto the show, Stewie always, he lights up, he gets excited. When we have guys from the OHL and even guys from the GTHL more specifically, when you get to that next level, when you guys get into the NHL, and really this can go out to both Stajan and Stewie, is there a bit of a fraternity there amongst you guys? You kind of all came from the same background. Did you feel that way, Matt, when you were playing?
Oh, 100%. You know, because you play, there's so many teams in the GTHL, so you don't always play with the guys that make it to the next level. But as soon as you're with each other, you have that instant bond. Like me and Mark Giordano are, you know, he's one of my best friends. And we played against each other growing up. And when I came to Calgary, we just hit it off. And, you know, you have that bond. And even Stewie and his brother, and we would train in the summer. I would be with Matt Nichol at St. Mike's, and Stewie was there. And we had a big crew of guys from the Toronto area, and everybody in that area pretty much played in the GTHL. So you share that bond and stories of all the rinks in Toronto. And, you know, I think that's just the way it is in Toronto.
Go ahead, Stewie.
I wanted to ask, you played with Jerome McGinley for about 4 seasons. How was that? How was he as a leader?
He was great. You know, the three captains I had in my career, Sundin, Gio, and Iggy, one thing they all had in common, they're all the most hardworking guys, and you know, so well-respected, gave it their all. Iggy was, you know, he knew when to say something. If someone just got under his skin early in the game, it was like, don't wake up Iggy if you're on the other team. And if you're on our team, you're like, get Iggy going, like, if we weren't playing well. But Iggy just knew. He would go out. If we weren't playing well, he'd go out and just pick a fight, get the team going. If we're playing well, you know, he could score with the best of them. He's one of the best scorers of all time. So nothing but respect for him and you know, the best Flame to ever wear the jersey, in my opinion. And, you know, I think I was very fortunate to walk in. You know, I think when you go to a new team mid-season, it's such a difficult thing for a player. You're comfortable and you're on a team, and then you go into a new dressing room and you rely on the leaders on that team to really welcome you. And Iggy was, you know, he called me the first day, his wife called my wife, and it was just such a welcoming experience that, you know, makes the transition a lot better. And on the ice, I struggled in Calgary for my first few seasons. And because of that, Iggy made me feel really comfortable, you know, with everything. He said, things will get better. Very positive, pushing me. And eventually I was able to turn it around. And, you know, I'm thankful for that.
In conversation with Matt Stajan. Go ahead, Berkey.
So, Stage, you were part, you know what it's like being a Toronto Maple Leaf, what a big deal that is. And you were part of a blockbuster trade, a 7-player deal back in 2010, January 31st. Tell folks what that's like to get traded in a big deal like that.
Yeah, it's I knew I was probably going to get traded at the deadline. I had a good idea just because Berkey hadn't talked with my agent about an extension. So I was kind of like, there's a good chance I'm going to get traded here. You never know. But it happened a month before the trade deadline, and I knew we were going through a rebuild. And I remember we had back-to-back games with travel, and we had a Sunday off. And the night before was there's some function at the rink, and we had the day off, and I just remember sitting at home eating breakfast, and rumors start swirling in Toronto like they do before things come out. But Berkey called me. You're the first one to call me and be like, listen, Stage, you're part of this deal, and there's a lot of guys on the team that are involved in it. I can't tell you who, because you had to call them as well. And then within half hour, everything's out in the news, and it's just kind of a whirlwind, to tell you the truth. All I remember is really packing my bags, driving to the Air Canada Center, picking up my stuff, saying bye to the trainers. Like, I had like 20 minutes. I actually ran into Berkey in the parking garage on my way out. I don't know if you remember that. And you said good luck and had a little exchange there. And and I was on my way. Literally, Ken King had flown in to pick the four of us up on a plane. Because we had to play the next night as well. I don't think Toronto had a game for a few more days, but we played the next night. So we had three games of four nights with all this travel, and the mental aspect that goes into getting traded was just kind of crazy and surreal. And I don't think, unless you've been through it, you can't really explain what the emotions are.
And Leaf fans will remember that. That was the Dion Phaneuf deal with Calgary back in 2010. Phaneuf, of course, then becoming the Leafs captain not long after that. So, Matt, interesting stuff. You know, you divided your career. You had, what, 6-7 years in Toronto and another series of years in Calgary. Maybe you've already touched on it. What was your favorite or the moment that stands out to you as a member of the Maple Leafs?
With the Leafs, you know, there's some tough times because we, you know, playing in the playoffs my first year was unbelievable. You know, it was a long time ago, but I think you just remember game seven at home against Ottawa. You know, that the building was just rocking. We ended up beating Ottawa, and at Belfour was unbelievable. But just being in that dressing room with all those guys, you know, it's just, I grew up a Leafs fan, and I dreamed to play for the Leafs one day, and it all came to be. I got drafted by them unexpectedly, and it just all came together. So just every moment coming into that rink, you know, I appreciated and enjoyed. It's hard to pick one because there wasn't a lot of success there. We went through a rebuild and some tough times, but just playing with those guys and being in that locker room with guys I idolized. Like I looked up to Matt Sundin through my teens. He was my guy, and then I was in the dressing room with him, you know, years later for 3-4 years. So those are the moments that you cherish and are thankful for. And then I came to Calgary, and it was the same. I never took anything for granted in my career. I always knew how special it was to be an NHL hockey player. And that's just kind of the way I went about things on the daily.
Stewie.
You played with part-time Sportsnet contributor Andre DeVoe. How was it playing with him? And were his hands as good as he pretended they were? I'm sure he's listening right now, too.
Yeah, well, it's funny because Devo, I played with, we were really good friends, especially in Belleville. We came in, we were rookies together, and then he got traded that same year. I think we traded for Spez. I think Devo went to Owen Sound, or it might have been the next year. So we were close, but then we played again. He got Berkey. I think you brought him to Toronto. So he was with the Leafs. I think he played 7 or 8 games with the Leafs. So I got to be with him when he played some of his NHL games. So that's a friendship that we have, but his hands, not much there. But he's a tough guy. He was the first rounder. So I remember coming into junior, he was the first rounder. I was the fifth round, year older than him, coming in, just scrapping to make the team. But Devo's great. I have nothing but good things to say about him. We still talk to this day.
Nice. Berkey.
I loved having Devo. He's a great kid. He was tough. He worked his tail off. I really liked having him. So I'm going to ask you what you were just asked, and you better know the answer to this one. What's your favorite memory out of Calgary?
Wow, my favorite memory—I have two, Berkey, but the playoffs game six was as a team. That's my favorite hockey memory for sure. Clinching that series against Vancouver in the third period, and then scoring on a penalty shot for personal reasons after we lost our firstborn child. That's more of a different type of memory. But those are the two memories that from my whole career that stand out, and I'm grateful for.
And you remember a sad day. I'm sorry. I do remember that penalty shot. I was talking about the game clincher in game six against Vancouver in the first round. But do you remember then we went to Anaheim and we won one game, I think. We won the first time we'd won there in 14 years. But do you remember we rented that stupid Pacquiao-Mayweather fight and it was awful? Remember the whole team? We all hated it.
Well, yeah. I remember we played game one on like a Thursday of the second round, and then we didn't play again until like Sunday. It was like a big gap on the road to start the playoffs here. So yeah, the Saturday night we had the Pacquiao fight. You guys set up a big room for everybody, and it was a dull fight. It didn't live up to the hype, but got the boys together. Buffet and the things that we appreciate now that I'm not playing NHL, those meals and times with the guys. It was fun, but that fight, yeah, didn't really do much for the night.
Dave, it cost me $10,000. I had to pay $7,000 to get that fight. They charged per person in the room. I had to pay $7,000, not me, the team, $7,000 to get that fight for the guys, and then another $3,000 or $4,000 for the meal. $10,000, and then the fight is a dud. I remember Gio was barking at me when he left.
Yeah, that was it was good. You have all those connections though in Anaheim, Berkey, so I don't think it was that hard for you to set that up. Oh. You only won a cup there. Yeah.
So, Matty, before we let you go, what's next for you? You're so well-liked and respected in the NHL community, and everyone sort of wondered, you know, broadcasting, is that a possibility? Coaching, management, what's the next step in this great career you've put together?
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling it out right now. I'm doing a little bit of broadcasting like once a week with Boomer here in the morning. And then some TV. I've been doing some intermissions with Sportsnet for the games here. But I really miss being a part of a team. I really like that aspect of hockey and life. So the only thing is I'm just juggling, putting the time in and family time. You know, I'm very conscious of that because family is number one for me. And, deep down, I think coaching or something like that would be what I would really want to get into. But I just know right now I can't commit the time to give everything I have and be successful at it. So I'm kind of just taking it slowly and see what kind of opportunities come up and we'll kind of go with it from there.